Sunday, March 1st, second Sunday of Lent. The first reading from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. Haydock Commentary. Abram leaves his kindred, Nahor and his other relations, except Sarai and Lot, who go with him into Canaan, and even his own house, or many of his domestics and effects, and full of faith, goes in quest of an unknown habitation. This is the third grand epoch of the world, when God chooses one family to maintain the one faith. "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great," etc. This refers primarily to the Messiah, who will be one of his descendants, and the source of all the blessings to be conferred on any of the human race. Many of the foregoing promises regarded a future world, and Abram was by no means incredulous when he found himself afflicted here below, as if God had forgot his promises. He was truly blessed in knowing how to live poor in spirit, even amid riches and honors, faithful in all tribulations and trials, following God in all things. The second reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design, and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Haydock Commentary. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel, that is, labor with me in preaching, be partner with me in suffering. Now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, that is, by the bright coming and appearing of our Savior. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. At that time, Jesus took Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter answering said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And the disciples hearing fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, "Arise and fear not." And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Haydock Commentary. Christ took Peter as head of the Apostolic College, James as the first to shed his blood for the faith, and John as he was to survive all the rest and to transmit to posterity the circumstances of this glorious mystery. Or, according to St. John Chrysostom, on account of their more excellent love, zeal, courage, sufferings, and predilection. The mountain is generally believed to be Tabor, and as such is considered by Christians as holy and was much frequented by pilgrims, as St. Jerome testifies. And Mr. Mondrell, in his book Journey from Aleppo to Jerusalem, says there are still three grottos made to represent the three tabernacles proposed by St. Peter. Others, however, do not think the transfiguration took place on Mount Tabor, which was in the middle of Lower Galilee, because St. Mark, in chapter 9, verse 29, says that Christ and his apostles, departing thence, passed through Galilee, and not out of Galilee. And they suppose the mountain might be Libanus, because it was near Caesarea Philippi, in the borders of which Christ appears at this time to have been. Mount Libanus is the highest in Palestine, according to St. Jerome, and of it Isaiah prophesied, "The glory of Libanus is given to it, the beauty of Carmel and Sauron. They shall see the glory of our God." Isaiah chapter 35, verse 2. But, as we have said, Tabor is very generally supposed to have been the mountain. When Christ was transfigured, let no one think that he changed his natural form, laying aside his body and assuming a spiritual form. But when the evangelist says his countenance shone like the sun and describes the whiteness of his garments, he shows in what the transfiguration consisted. He added to his former appearance, but laid not aside his substance. The Lord was transfigured into that glory with which he will appear again at the day of judgment and in his kingdom. So says St. Jerome. He did not show them his divinity, which cannot be seen by the eyes of the body, but a certain glimpse or sign of it. Jesus Christ had been taken by the people for Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He therefore chose the chief of all the prophets to be present, that he might show his great superiority over them, and verify the illustrious confession of Peter. The Jews had accused Christ of blasphemy and of breaking the Sabbath. The presence of Moses and Elijah refutes the calumny, for the founder of the Jewish laws would never have sanctioned him who was a transgressor of those laws, and Elijah, so full of zeal for the glory of God, would never have paid homage to one who made himself equal to God, had he not really been the Son of the Most High. So says St. John Chrysostom. St. Hilary thinks that Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets, and who here bear witness to the divinity of Jesus Christ, will be the precursors of his second coming, alluded to in Revelation chapter 11, though the general opinion of the fathers is that the two witnesses there mentioned are Enoch and Elijah. It is here evident that the saints departed can and do, with the permission of God, take an interest in the affairs of the living. So says St. Augustine. For as angels elsewhere, so here the saints also served our Savior. And as angels, both in the Old and New Testament, were frequently present at the affairs of men, so may saints. All interpreters agree that Elijah appeared in his own body, but various are their opinions with regard to the apparition of Moses. The apostles' human weakness could not bear such refulgent beams of glory, and trembling in every limb, they fall prostrate on the ground. The Almighty, it seems, was pleased to fulfill the wish of Peter, thereby to show that himself is the tent or pavilion under the shade of which the blessed shall live forever, and to sanction the public and explicit confession of Peter relative to the divinity of Jesus Christ, by his own no less public and explicit confession, joined with an express command to hear and obey him. St. John Chrysostom very justly remarks that this voice was not heard till after the departure of Moses and Elijah, that no possible doubt might exist to whom it was referred, and that it was to Christ only, and to no other. Hear ye him. That is, as the law and the prophets are fulfilled and verified in Jesus Christ, your new legislator and prophet, you are to hear and obey him in preference to either Moses or Elijah, or any other teacher. The terrified disciples were still prostrate on the ground and unable to arise, when Jesus, with his usual benevolence, approaches, touches them, expels their fear, and restores them to the use of their limbs. So says St. Jerome. Tell the vision to no man, till the miracle of his resurrection has prepared the minds of men for the belief of this. Expose not an event so wonderful to the rash censure of the envious Pharisees, who calumniate and misrepresent my most evident miracles. Jesus Christ also gave a lesson here to his followers to observe the closest secrecy in all spiritual graces and favors.